CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons. A special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Edition of my so-called 8-bit life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, remotely from his compound of death and destruction, Naeem Siddiqui, better known as Kuhan Online. How's it going, good sir?
It's going well. It's going fine. I'm living life.
You're living life. That's how you're gonna open. You're like, it's going good. It's going great, bro. Living life, enjoying the whatever, you know, catching the rays.
I'm alive. That's what's important. That's what's important, right? I got my health.
For now, I guess that's one way. That's one way of going into it. I've got my health. As you know, rarely people talk about their health.
Could be worse.
It could be. You know what? That's actually what's one of the things I usually say. Like, because as a default, I have a couple of default responses. And only so many of my friends call me out on them. And when they realize that I'm using a default response, they're just like, why'd you say it like that? I go, that's one of my default responses. Not because I'm not paying attention, but because I have nothing else to say. And I hate being silent because I've gotten so used to talking to this damn microphone.
Yep. Oh, man. I know that problem. Yes, sir.
And so because of that, like one of my default responses, especially I usually use that like the grocery stores or whatever. I say, they go, did you find everything you want? Like, yeah, cool. It's like, so how's your day going so far, sir? Can't complain. You know, like that's my like default one is can't complain. Like it just became part of my like vernacular. I don't even know where I adopted that one as like my, yeah, it's all right. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So for those who are new to the show, because we've been having a lot of new people come, which is awesome. Kuhan is a good friend of mine. I've known him for about as long, you know, for about 10 years, we're kind of trying
for about as long as I've been alive, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. As long as your existence has been. But so Kuhan of himself, and for those of you guys who are new, who have been kind of keeping up with the show or have just started getting on and started seeing all these other things, every so often in the show's cycle of things, I tend to have a friend on, a person that may or may not be a well-known creator, but it's somebody that I trust, somebody that I know that I can have a good conversation with and I can make some content with. And Kuhan, I've had on the show on and off for about 10 years, if not more. And
hold on. The show hasn't been around for 10 years, Rob.
Right. You're absolutely right. I've had it. You're absolutely right. Not 10 years. I've had him on. Thank you for calling me out on that one.
I was going to say, like, you haven't been around that long, like 6 years.
Six years.
Like, I think I was on the first year of the show for sure.
Right,
I know that.
Exactly. It's been from its inception to now. I've had Kuhan on and off. I've been on his shows on and off. We've had a relationship of some sort, and I haven't had him on in a while. And I felt, you know what? Let's get the guy on because again, I know I'm gonna have a decent conversation and stuff like that. With that in mind. I gotta ask, have you had a chance to play any new video games, or like me playing re-releases of old video games?
Ooh, no, I don't play a lot of new video games. Generally, I play MLB The Show is most of what I play.
Okay, let's chat about that. Even though I was gonna talk about Full Throttle and Disney Afternoon, fuck that. Let's talk about this thing we call baseball. Why fucking fantasy baseball? And for those who have idea what we're talking about, make a long story short, in the pre-show, he was telling me how he accidentally ran his fantasy football league, fantasy baseball league, not even fantasy football. We're in the dredges of fucking baseball. I'm kidding.
Dredges. How dare you?
Tom would look at me with shame and disgrace from his.
Yeah, we're I'm gonna hit him up. We're both flying to Austin tomorrow. To kick your ass.
God, if only that were the case. If only Tom Merritt would fly into Austin purely for my benefit. That would be amazing. If Tom Merritt's like, knock, knock, knock. How'd you know where I live, Tom? Clock. First off, I'd have a story of like, let me tell you the time Tom Merritt punched me. because that would be a story that I would want to keep in the back pocket for all eternity, because it would be the one day that I'd say, I saw Tom's veneer drop.
And so many people would be like, who's Tom Merritt?
And the people who would say, like, really, Tom punched you?
It's yeah, like, right? Yeah.
He showed anger? It's like, yeah, it was insane. I didn't expect it. That's why. All right, but continue, though, man.
Sorry, what was the question?
So the question was, how did you get into fantasy baseball? How did you get to running this stuff and actually having to keep up with it now?
So, okay. So,
go on.
It's a weird... So, okay, so I grew up in St. Louis, which is a baseball town. It's a very baseball town. If you're not a baseball fan in St. Louis, like... It's very strange. Like even the people who are not sports fans in St. Louis are Cardinals fans. They got Cardinals shirts. Everybody's got Cardinals stuff, except for the people who like actively don't like baseball. And generally, those people actively don't like baseball because they're hockey fans. And they're like, why don't people talk about the Blues more? Just fine. Blues are great. They're in the playoffs right now. I think they're up 2-1 in the series. So everybody's a Cardinals fan in St. Louis, and it's. I didn't realize how much of a baseball fan I was until I moved from St. Louis, arrived in Chicagoland, and realized that, oh, I wear a baseball hat all the time and baseball stuff all the time, and other people don't really care about this. Because in St. Louis, if you're a sports fan, everybody's a baseball fan if you're a sports fan at all. And in Chicago, you've got teams in every sport. So there's a lot more in St. Louis. You got hockey, and you used to have football, but the Rams had sucked since 2002 anyway. And then now they suck in a different city.
why is that the kid? Why is that the? Because I've started lightly getting into sports. I say lightly in that I watch documentaries on sports, and that's always seems to be the concept of when the team moves. It's not like anything magically changed in the composition. It's just they moved to another city and they sucked there, and the other city got angry because they lost their exports franchise.
Yeah, the garbage team left. Why did the garbage team leave our city to go to another garbage city? So in St. Louis, you're a baseball fan, and I moved to Chicago, and the Cardinals won the World Series in 2011 when I was in my only semester at Mizzou, and that was huge for me. And then the next year, the playoffs came around, and again, watching baseball just for the playoffs coming around, and I really got really into it. And this was I had also just read the book and watched the movie of Moneyball, and really got into sort of the stat head stuff of it. And so that's really what drew me into baseball as a whole. And then it was, joining fantasy leagues. I keep promising myself every year I'm going to be in fewer fantasy leagues. I'm in six this year, which
God
is not,
damn.
I'm in way too many and fantasy baseball is daily lock. I have to be checking my teams every day.
Okay. Look,
it's terrible. I should not be doing it.
The joke has always been when it came to fantasy from the geek perspective, the joke when it came to any fantasy sport was that it was D&D for jocks. That was always the joke and gag. With that gag analogy coming in further and further, I don't think I've ever been in like six D&D sessions or six D&D like campaigns. I think I've had is two, maybe.
It's stupid. It's a terrible idea that what I'm doing. What I'm doing is bad for my health. No, the funny thing is I don't care about football at all. But I was in like four or five fantasy football leagues, and those are a lot simpler because that's weekly lock. You check your lineups once in the morning on like Thursday. Set your lineups for that week. Maybe check it again on Sunday morning to make sure that nobody is injured between Thursday and Sunday, or nobody's not, nobody got benched that day, and then you're done. And I, in one of my leagues, I actually won the most games and then just lost in the championship. So I finished in second in that league. And the other ones, I still finished like mostly top half. But in baseball, in fantasy baseball, you have to pay a lot more attention to your teams. I have a full-time job and I'm going to school full-time it's a terrible, terrible
Why?
Idea.
Okay. Let's figure out let's now do the scale. Let's figure out where your limits are when it comes to baseball. Obviously right now you're currently following like the American side of baseball. That doesn't necessarily mean the Americans or whatever the leagues are. I forget what
the American League and the National League. Yes, I'm following Major League Baseball, which is the American Baseball League. Yes.
Have you started looking into the other world baseball leagues yet?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. I didn't expect that answer. Okay.
Yeah. No. I will absolutely, like, you know, if I'm up late at night and there's nothing else to do and I can find an NPB stream, hell yeah, I'll turn it on.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. NPB, now this got far more interesting. This is far more fascinating.
NPB is Nippon Professional Baseball, which is the Japanese baseball league.
Yes, no, I understand.
There's also KBO, which is the Korean league, ABL, which is the Australian league, and there's a couple other ones, but I won't watch a lot of NPB. I won't watch a lot of KBO. But
look, it's the fact of the matter that you've gotten there, and I guess...
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
It was real quick for me, too, because this was... I'm talking between 2012... and 2014 is when, like, I went from not really a sports fan to I knew more about... My brother's a huge sports fan, and by 2014, I knew far more about baseball than my brother ever knew.
Wow. Well, that's because, again, that's why I bring up the international side, because typically that happens in soccer. Like, soccer, you know, you'll go from... You'll start with either your country's league or, you know, you'll just go be in the Premier League, and then you may venture out to, like, the Europa League or the CONCACAF or wherever else in the world. You may venture out. You may not. It all depends on how deep you are.
I'm going to be honest. The only reason I don't watch more Japanese baseball is because I don't speak Japanese. If I spoke Japanese, I'd be watching so much Japanese baseball.
The
only reason is because I prefer to listen to baseball on the radio. Like, I prefer to have it as a sound experience than a visual experience. TV is fine, but there's a comfort to listening to baseball on the radio, being able to drive around or even just sit in my room with my eyes closed and listen to the sounds of the game. And so not having the auditory experience makes Japanese and Korean baseball.
Well,
a little
even
bit
then,
less-
like baseball in the hit, you know, we're talking earlier at the pre-show about like things like who's on first, sort of the, like, what are the premier jokes or that sort of thing. But baseball as a professional sports medium, like, it began its existence when it came to, like, the broadcast thing as a radio-only experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think other sports... I mean, this is the thing, is the baseball's pace makes it a lot more palatable for radio. And other sports, I don't think, are nearly as good on the radio. But for me, I feel like baseball is... The radio is the superior experience for baseball, for me, personally.
Well, because ultimately, a lot of times... And this is what's interesting. If you have the right announcer at a baseball game, And again, this, if you want to kind of have that experience as a complete newbie to sports, or just don't really have an idea of it and don't really care about the modern day thing, try to find like an old Babe Ruth moment or just Babe Ruth audio highlights as an example of how you can make this sport sound amazing.
And by the way, MLB is great for that. You can find like old stuff of like, you know, just old broadcasts, full game broadcasts from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. It's great. You can go back and listen to, I think it was like Jack Buck and Vin Scully calling a game or something like that.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. There's some like real good stuff.
And even in those times, like TV as we know it now wasn't then when it happened. When TV started becoming kind of a thing, it was still in its infancy when, like, a lot of these, you know, some of these like, you know, very well known, even like in the, you know, 70s and 80s, we weren't at the point now. But because of that, radio has had a huge leg up in terms of how you broadcast that game. Like when professional football, maybe not so much, college or anything like that, when professional football kind of came into its own, it got a lot of its push because of television. You know, like, it had certain things designed. Basketball, you know, yes, college things were happening, but when things started getting on television and professional, you know, you'd have certain concepts of things like a TV break, a TV timeout, a 2-minute, like I think the 2-minute warning basically in football is just so they can have commercial time. It's more like 2-minute warning and it happens, but it happens really quick. It could happen way quicker. Yeah.
And baseball's got a similar thing of inning. I mean, like, inning breaks are built into baseball. It's like, okay, cool. You know, you got 2 minutes to play ads in that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have that, but again, those things still happen in those games, but it just, like, in terms of broadcast, it had such a rich history in terms of how to broadcast in that sport and how to cover it and how to comment on it, that if I were, say, a new commentator to the whole thing and trying to get my feet wet in there, trying to figure out what my voice is or how to approach it, I'd have this ginormous catalog to look back on and sort of hear and listen to and go and say, oh, that's how you cover baseball. That's how you do certain things. And that applies to that. And two, it's also very much a – I'm not saying there's not a whole lot of action in football. There's a lot of action in football, a little action in basketball, that. But, like, basketball's very, very fast-paced in that, you know, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points.
Ball, ball, pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. Guarding. Yeah, it's there's a lot more to be said in 3 seconds than in baseball, where it's all right and the pitcher comes set and delivers and the swing and, you know, like everything is happening in a moment. There's a moment that this happens, a moment this happens. Whereas in basketball, it's a pass, it's a shot, it's a block. And then he's here. Where in baseball, everyone is positioned in their positions when you're starting. So it's a lot easier to paint a mental picture of where everybody is. Like, okay, he's telling me the outfielders are shaded a little bit left. He's telling me the infielders are shaded a little bit right. Okay, so I know that he's a little bit over here. I have an idea of where everybody's standing. And the batter's standing in the batter's box, and there's a runner on first, and now he swings. Okay, the base runner's running, and we have the outfielder who's moving towards the ball. There's a lot easier to paint a mental picture than in basketball when there's 5 people on each side moving, in football when there's 12 people on each side moving, in hockey when there's, you know, what, 6, 7, 8 people, 9 people on each side moving. It's a lot easier sort of to paint that mental picture, and which makes it such a great radio
even
experience.
Soccer can become a bit difficult too. And I'm
just thinking of the 4 major American sports, but same with soccer.
No, soccer,
a dozen people on each side.
Cricket,
yeah,
might be
people
a little, but cricket's very equivalent to baseball in terms
cricket definitely similarly. I've never listened to cricket on the radio. I have watched cricket on TV. My father and my brother watch cricket a lot. And my grandfather, Which is it's always fun to watch both, because it's always fun to watch those sports with my brother and my dad, both baseball and cricket, because my dad does not really get baseball and I only kind of get cricket, and my brother is a fan of both. So it's really fun to sort of have that dichotomy of my brother, like, understanding exactly what's going on and explaining to either one of us sort of how the equivalent works in the other sport.
Well, because I've tried my best to I've tried my best to figure out cricket, because for a while I was watching, I kept up with the English Premier League, and the station that would broadcast that online is BBC 5. That's their sort of sports one. And every so often they'd advertise, hey, we got this other feed that's playing the cricket game. Like, I don't really care about cricket, but I have the audio playing because I haven't changed the station because I just need some fucking background audio in terms of work. And it will be talking about, you know, this wicket, that, this many runs, that, this hit there. And like, how does this work? Because I still want to know, even on a rough guesstimation scale, how all this works. And when you start looking into the world of cricket, sort of the sport and everything else, you realize that basically it is like, it has the exact same pacing as baseball.
Yeah,
it's not
very
baseball,
pacing.
But it has the pacing of, it is a very moment driven thing. You either made the hit or you didn't.
That's a good point.
And so that sort of, you know, it's sports like that that I think, you know, I mean, cricket not so much. Cricket has kind of, you know, gone beyond, you know, the England, but it's such a funny thing we talk about, you know.
Yeah, I only watch international cricket. I just watch the Pakistan team.
Yeah, but basically anyone else does. Everyone else watches those sort of things. That's the big ones to watch. But if you start, I don't even think we have a local team. I don't even know if we do.
U.S. has some like under 20 teams and stuff, but the U.S. isn't usually very good in cricket. And usually most of the U.S.'s teams are like people whose parents are from another country and they play here. And if you're really, really, really good, and you, even if your parents are from another country and you live here, you're going to play for that team.
Yeah.
So the U.S. sort of gets the table scraps of like guys who are pretty good Again, like I actually had one of my parents' friends' kids who actually, his little brother, who beat me in my fantasy football league last year, was actually on, when he was under 20, was on the U.S. like the U.S. teen cricket, like international cricket team, which is cool.
Okay, that makes sense, because the sport that we're just kind of starting to get better with, starting to slowly grow here in the States. I say slowly, but it's actually kind of skyrocket as of late is MLS, is Major League Soccer. Like if you're looking for a sport to get into that's just right at the cusp of becoming ginormous, because already big, But when I say ginormous, I mean the point where even I will know certain teams now, and I'm not even in that big of the sport. I'm not even big on sports in general, and I know of like the LA Galaxy or you know, these sort of teams there.
Right.
And that we're getting a lot of good players is MLS. Like, that's the sport if you want to kind of get on the ground floor now, you know, see how these sort of things become, because it's so crazy to know that, like, when we talk about sports, like, and the international level, I think, like, the only sports you can that I could even say, I mean, even though there are other sports out there, people do play, you know, basketball in other countries, It's, like, baseball and soccer are the only two that come to mind. Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah, baseball, and baseball, even baseball is only, like, U.S., and then, like, it's U.S., Japan, and then you have, like, some South American countries who are all people who try to come to the U.S.
Yeah.
To play, you know, and you know, like you got some Cubans, and you got some Dominicans, and you got some Venezuelans, and you got some Puerto Ricans, which is technically U.S., and you got, like stuff like that, but even the like the international appeal of baseball is nowhere near the international appeal of soccer.
No, we're not saying I'm not saying that.
It's soccer than cricket.
Right.
It's just that America doesn't have cricket.
Right, exactly. But it's such an interesting thing to note that because if we talk about like sports that people consider as hallmarks that are like it's as American as, you know, baseball comes to mind. Baseball is like the American, you know, the nickname is the American pastime. And yep. I just find it always fascinating that this is the game that we, you know, in a weird way that we gave to the world. I'm not saying that we are the creators of baseball. I should have not looked at the history. So, you know, take everything I say in terms of that with a grain of salt. But when people think of baseball, it's usually the American teams. Like it's like I was talking to my brother about soccer. And I was like, you know, when I say soccer, what are the two teams you think of? And he goes, Manchester United. Real Madrid. And I'm like, those are two different leagues, and they're two different, you know, sports teams in two different countries that have nothing to do with us. You know, no one thinks of like the U.S. team. But if you were to go to another country and say baseball, like I have a feeling people would, you know, you'd see people wearing like Yankees t-shirts.
The New York Yankees. Yeah. And,
you know?
And maybe like the Atlanta Braves or the Los Angeles Dodgers, maybe.
And it's
Boston Red Sox. Like those live probably the big international baseball
right,
teams.
But it's the idea that
unless you're in Japan.
Right. But even in Japan, they may care about their own home teams and keep track of that sort of stuff. They still, if you know, I guarantee people who don't really care about the sport would probably bring it up. Not because anything bad, but that's because it's, you know, like our three exported sports are you know, basketball, football, and baseball.
Yeah.
But I think baseball just translates out better in the end of it all. I mean, this is not to say that any of those sports can't, because they're fans in other countries for sure.
And I think on some level too, it's because baseball is a lot easier in some ways to follow. It's you see what's going on. You don't have to see three things going on, and it's a lot easier to communicate. Like amongst teammates in baseball, for example, whereas in basketball, for example, you need to, you know, everybody on the court needs to know what's going on at every second. In baseball, you just need to be able to say, I got it, you know.
Yeah, that's
much.
Actually very true, because like, you know, we break down, you know, if we break down the mechanics of any of these games, you know, basketball, football, baseball, soccer, heck, even cricket, if we were to, you know the inner deep in cricket, you know, the deep in workings of cricket. A lot of it becomes, you know, we talk about this in collectible card games and even board games, but the idea of board state, the idea of when you look at a board and you see what's going on, like, okay, that's what's happening now. Here's the move I got to make. It's a lot easier in baseball, you know, as a pitcher, as a batter, to look at the field and say, all right, there's the board state. Because if you come up to the plate, you as a batter say, okay, I've got two guys on, you know, I got a guy on first, a guy on third. You know, if he throws me a foul, I could try to go for the home run, but if I just bunt it now, we can at least get a run going and you know, get a score up, because that's the point, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, there's a lot when you are on offense, there's a lot fewer moving parts. You know, you know where the defense is positioned, you know they can move, and you have some idea, and there's obviously once the ball is put into play, there's more stuff that can happen. You know, anything can happen once the ball's put in play. But when you step up to the plate, when you are the person who's on offense, and you're, I want to say the offenser, the offender, that's not the right word.
Right.
when you're the offensive player and you arrive to play offense, you see, yeah, the board state. You see the board state, and it's not going to change that much between the time that the pitcher comes set and the pitch arrives to the plate. Whereas if you're playing basketball, for example, and the ball is put in your hands, you're the point guard about to bring the ball up the court, everything is constantly shifting.
Right.
Even in the moment. In the moment the ball's in your hand, people are still moving around at the other end of the court, getting ready for you. Once you bring it up to the court, everybody's moving around. The ball goes, switches hands. Whereas, again, like in baseball, it goes from the pitcher to the catcher, and maybe the batter hits it in the
right, exactly. And then hopefully someone on your team catches it or whatever, and that kind of thing.
Right, yeah. And then there's a little bit more there, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But that's still, again, it's still knowing that, okay, you know, even if you have the idea of a batter, you know, there's only, I mean, again, we could break down every game and kind of have very similar things, but even in football, not soccer, you know, American football, gridiron for you Australians out there, the idea being that things can shift very quickly because you can have an idea of a play and, oh, lateral. Like, I always remember this, and it was funny because it was my brother's college team that did it. It became part of one of the, like, crazy sports moments of that year, to the point where ESPN had it part of their, like, top 20 for the day, where it's this crazy football play, and I think it's of St. Mary's there in San Antonio, where they're just throwing laterals and laterals and laterals and laterals and just sort of passing along and doing this like crazy football play and eventually score. And it's just this amazing thing to watch. But that doesn't happen. Not saying that the amazing things don't happen in baseball. Of course they do. You catch that, you know, crazy fly ball and things like that. But nothing where you have to be like, lateral this, lateral that, another lateral, you know, and kind of get in this hyper state of insanity because it becomes these moments, and there's a windup and the pitch. And he hits it. It's going. Holy crap, he grabbed up the wall. You know, and you think about how you telegraph that as a announcer. Yeah, that's so much easier to translate because you can watch that if you were to watch the game of baseball silent, right, and you have to kind of explain it in your native tongue, that's so much easier to do.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just these very hallmark moments. It's these very, you know, not... And that's not to say that not a heck of a whole lot goes on. It's just not a heck of a lot.
Well, and it's not to say it's not difficult. Like, I wouldn't say it's easier as much as more natural.
Right.
You know, like there's definitely a natural pattern to it. And maybe it's just more natural to me because I listen to a lot more baseball than other sports.
No, but it's natural to me even as a person that doesn't watch any sports because it becomes sports. On DirecTV, there's this channel that I think is probably the most blatant explanation of sports ever. And I make this joke all the time. There are certain sports where nothing matters until the very end. I was talking with this with my... I was at a wedding, my cousin's wedding. I was talking to my cousin Carrie, who's a... Not Carrie, Christy, who's a big Spurs fan. All my cousins in San Antonio are huge Spurs fans. So they all watch the games. And I guess the playoffs are happening now, and so it was game one. And I was making the comment because we're just watching. I was like, "Well, they're up by the half," and I made the comment like, "Yeah, but nothing matters for basketball games until the fourth quarter, because anything can happen in that game, and you know, you can be up by 20 by the fourth, by the half, and then lo and behold, it doesn't matter. Usually by about, unless you know, barring something insane, and usually if you hear something insane that happens, it's rare that you don't know kind of how a baseball game is going to go by about the seventh or eighth, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and not to say that there aren't those moments in those sports that's like, holy shit, they brought it back at the ninth. But like, you know, if you're, for example,
unless it's like a close game, you know, like a one or two run game, it's uncommon to come back from a big lead in the late innings.
Right. Exactly. It's not, you know, and then that's not saying anything bad. That's just, you know, that this is
sure.
It's statistics.
I mean, I can think of many examples. Just last week, the Mariners gave up like a 9-run lead to the Angels in the ninth inning, which was real sad. Might have been 6 runs. I don't know, but it was. I think it was either 9-3 or like it was a 9-run lead. I forget exactly what the score was, but they gave up a huge lead in the ninth inning to the Angels. So like, yes, it happens. But I definitely agree that it's uncommon to blow a big lead in the late innings in baseball.
Right, it can happen. Anything can happen. It's like any other sport. But the point being, because of that, I think a lot of times you tend to get invested, you know, early on. And you'll keep watching, but, you know, by a certain point, like, it gets near the end of the game, you're like, oh, screw this. But you may come back to check up on things. But I think because of that, it's such an easier thing to translate out in that, because, I guess, to me, what I'm trying to say, even though it's still a sport, and even though it's still intense, and even though all these things matter in terms of their, you know, microcosms, this is not me saying as like, sports is terrible, fuck that. Like, no, if you like this rock and roll. But in terms of other sports, baseball is a slower paced game. And I think that's to its advantage in that you can, you know, like much like we're talking about in terms of radio, in terms of broadcast, you can have it be an audio form and not have to really worry about, you know, did I miss something important? Did I miss something crucial? You know, like you can, you know, for example, as you're, you know, you have it playing in the background and you're working on something. Or you have, like, I know, like, Tom Merritt, a mutual friend and podcaster, he'll typically have the game playing on one of his second screens while he's doing something else. And it's not uncommon for sports to have that, but specifically baseball, because it's that, like, oh, shit, something's happening, you know, and you look. But in football, I was going to get the point to show that, to illustrate how it is in, like, other sports, whereas I think in baseball, it's like you have to kind of keep up with it to a certain degree. DirecTV has this station, this channel. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but the it's called, I think it's called like the Red Line or like the Red Zone. I think it's called Red Zone actually, where it's basically it's during game day.
Yeah, sorry, it is Red Zone. So I blanked for a second when you were talking. Yes, it's definitely Red Zone.
I'm like baseball. I can just mosey on and on, and then eventually something crazy happens. But yeah, it's Red Zone, and where basically it is. Love it because it's such a silly thing, because it basically says like, this is all that fucking matters, all you care about. It is basically, it cuts to every game that's happening when something interesting's about to happen. It's like, they're ready to score, shit's gonna go down. It's like, cool, let's just cut to this screen.
It's pretty genius, to be honest.
I know, I agree.
Like it's great. Like it's like, okay, yeah, absolutely. We're gonna cut to this screen. You don't really care about the stuff that happens in the middle. You cut to this. People have done similar things for MLB.TV that'll just cut to interesting moments in baseball games. But Red Zone is like official NFL. It's like, we want you to watch the most interesting. It's especially good for like fantasy, because generally in fantasy football, like, you have somebody on every team, on your team or on whoever you're playing that week's team. On every game, there's something that is relevant to your fantasy game that week. So it's, and fantasy football is huge. It's a huge market. Like it's a very big, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but it's a huge industry. That's the word I was looking for, and I got it. it's a massive industry, and so it's a lot of Red Zone is mainly catering to fantasy football players, and the idea is like, is any given football game, somebody on one of the two teams is on one of your two teams, the team that you have or the team that you're playing this week, and so every game has some sort of interest to you based on your fantasy team.
Yeah, it's insane and bizarre to me, because like I love the idea. We're watching, like, my dad would show it to me, like, this is brilliant, this is perfect, this is the thing you put on sports bars. You don't need to put on the one game, just put on Red Zone, and you've solved the problem of like what game to follow. It tells you what to follow. It just says this is the interesting thing happening, and it's the only reason I compare it. And you mentioned that there's no MLB one. I think it's because MLB. Almost every moment can be interesting, whereas in like other sports, there's only so many moments that are interesting. And not because that doesn't mean that the sports aren't, you know, people don't follow. If you watch it, you're like, you're keeping with the game, whatever. But, you know, there are every hit could be that hit that wins the game. You know, it's same thing with soccer. Like every goal could be that goal that wins the game. You know, usually this happens in low scoring games that things matter more, I think. I say low scoring.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, generally low scoring soccer is, you know, soccer can be won by a score of 1-0 very often. Same thing happens in baseball all the time. 1-0 scores. Whereas you're not going to have a 1-0 score in, you're rarely going to have a 7-0 score in football or 6-0 score in football. You're never going to have a 2-0 score in basketball.
If you had a 2-0 score, it's like he shoots, he scores. and we've shut down the arena because something horrible has happened and we can't broadcast anymore. The game is no longer existed. All the players have been warped out of existence and transported to, like, that would be the more interesting story. Aliens have invaded and they've abducted our teams and we now have real Space Jam occurring.
Oh my God.
Like, that's the story there. That's the only way you'd ever have a 2-0 score is that.
I would say, by the way, real quick, most of the time, all my Blu-rays are in a box right next to me. That box right now is in my car. But if it wasn't, I would pull out my Space Jam Blu-ray right now just to show you that I was prepared for this moment, but I was not.
I think everybody, I'm going to say that for the post show of like why you have that on Blu-ray, but
I'm sorry. Why don't you have it on Blu-ray?
Because I have Street Fighter the movie on Blu-ray.
Hey, seems everyone's got their thing.
That's okay. The reason I have that, and I hope it's similar, Street Fighter the movie on Blu-ray has commentary by the director.
Oh no, I just love Space Jam.
Okay, that's fair. That's okay. I'm not judging. I'm honestly not judging. Space Jam is the modern Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Hold on. Let's not give too much credit to Space Jam.
It's like, hold on there. Let's not sully the name of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Look, Zemeckis is a genius compared to the director of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Tells you how much I know who directed Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Now we're on that train. I didn't know. Robert Zemeckis did that, but who directed, or did Zemeckis produce it?
I believe Joe Pitka is the name of the director of Space Jam, something like that. Joe Pitka, I think, is his name.
Let's see.
Ooh, I got it. I got it in one. Yep. That's his. He made two feature films, Let It Ride and Space Jam.
Oh, God. I think I know about Let It Ride. Yeah. Wow. What is he? He also worked on.
He's a big commercial guy.
Yeah. He's done. It's funny. People also look for him when they look for Wayne Knight, who was also in Space Jam, Jurassic Park. But he's better known as Newman from Seinfeld. Yep. Great. I'm almost going down that rabbit hole. But to get back to baseball, because this is such a fascinating thing to me that you're into baseball.
I would probably say baseball. My first exposure to baseball as a young man, as a child, was Space Jam. Was Michael Jordan playing baseball?
That's right. Because that's it's funny you bring that up because this tells you how weirdly historic baseball is. And you only, if you know something about a thing or two, baseball is that's such a strange thing. Cause like that was, there was a point in time, this is, to put back.
Speaking of which, another great 30 for 30, which keeps coming back, is Jordan Rides the Bus.
I need to watch that one still. That's the one I need to get still, is Jordan Rides the Bus.
Yeah,
that's such
it's
a
phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Those who have no idea what we're talking about, this is sort of a sports history moment in terms of things. One of the quintessential players in the NBA, definitely during my era and during a lot of people's era, to the point where people will say, is this person the next Michael Jordan? That's how big of a name he is. And then I'm just saying for people have like as if I'm talking to like the five people who've been under a rock for the past decade or three.
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Exactly, yeah. Michael Jordan. The guy in the Hanes commercials that you see, that you question, like, why is he on the Hanes
with the Hitler mustache? Why did the guy have a Hitler mustache in the Hanes commercials?
He's Michael Jordan. He's amazing. But
greatest of all time.
At one point in his history of sports, I guess he was just tired of basketball. He wanted to
The official story.
Okay.
That was right after his father passed away.
Right.
The official story is that he was, like, his father died, and he wanted to step away from basketball, and his dad always wanted him to play baseball, so that's why he played baseball. The conspiracy theory is that his dad was killed because of Jordan's massive gambling debts, and the NBA wanted him to leave for a little while the whole thing blew over, and so he went and played baseball for a year.
That's a stretch of a conspiracy theory. I'm gonna leave that one hang in the wind.
Don't worry. You can find plenty about.
I bet. No. Conspiracy theories are fun and can be great and grand. And you can make a career if Alex Jones has shown me anything. You can make a career on talking about conspiracy theories and somehow make money about it. But hey, whatever works. And if any of the millions of documentaries on who shot JFK and did we fake the moon landing on Netflix are any indication there is money to be had in conspiracy theories.
I love conspiracy theories. They're so much fun.
I both hate them and love them too.
Just like the one about how Alex Jones is an acid house DJ.
Of course he is. I'll believe that one. That one makes sense. But going back to that, because of that, like there was a year he fucking played baseball, and it's such a weird thing. But I guess that's the allure of baseball. It is that it's that sport. Even though other sports have been around for probably just as long, you know, like we've had probably, you know, football has been around for just as long.
Professional baseball has been around the longest. By the way, I haven't even done this. So you can see behind me, I have a big Power Rangers poster. But if I turn over here in front of me, that's my TV. And then that is my poster of the genealogy of baseball teams. You can kind of see it from the side here.
Hold that shot for like a half second, because I need something for a screenshot. Wow,
it's this wonderful infographic of the genealogy of baseball teams from the beginning of like pre MLB, from the American Association until the present.
That's like I'm gonna go back to the normal shot. It's that.
It's so cool. My brother got it for me a couple years ago, a year ago. It's so dope. I love
that. That is basically a database schema of fucking baseball teams.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, it's got National League 1876 to present. Before that, National Association from 1871 to 75, American Association 1882 to 1891, and then some stuff Union Association and Players League. And then the American League starts as the Western League in 1894. And then in 1900, it becomes the American League.
Does it show when the strikes happened?
Yeah. I think so. I'm not sure.
Because that's the important thing. Because there's like four or five different strikes that.
Yeah. The big one in our lifetimes is the 94 strike.
Right. I think there's one in the 80s as well, too.
There's one in the 80s, but the big one, yeah. The one in the 80s. Did not end this, like it ended the season and the season started up like it was pretty short.
Yeah,
the one in the 90s ended the season, ended the Montreal Expos possibility of the World Series that year, ended Tony Gwynn's possible 400 season.
Yeah, it did a lot of bad, as it should. But yeah, it's one of those sports that, and there was some kind of guys, we're almost out of time, we're almost at the hour mark here. It's one of those things that, like, I would almost say, when it comes to sports, people have like, you know, I started at the beginning of this saying it's the American pastime, and I really truly mean that. It is it's been with us, you know, for as long as I can remember. And obviously it's not the first thing we did, and yes, it's not the only thing we've done as Americans. It's not the only sport that's ever been exported or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to, you know, I try to cut off any comments right before they happen. But it's one of those things that just, like, it's so quintessentially ours, and the thing that became, you know, part of the American fabric, that I always find it fascinating that was the thing we kind of exported. Because I was, you know, like we talked about earlier about Japanese baseball and you following it. Like, I remember there was this movie back in I guess it was the 80s, early 90s, with
Major League 2.
Major League and different. Major League is entirely. Major League is an amazing fucking movie, and we all should watch that movie because it's amazing. And the greatest part about Major League, I think, is who is it that played the announcer?
Oh, Bob Uecker, who is actually the actual real life announcer of the Milwaukee Brewers, and you can still hear him.
Oh, cool!
Every day announcing for the Brewers, he's great. He's a legend.
No, yeah, Bob. Yeah, no, he basically made that. I mean, everyone made that movie. Everything made it, but again, no. It's like,
just
think
a bit outside.
God, okay. I love Bob Uecker. You know, it's a great fucking, no, yeah, it's a great, you know, Major League. No, I was talking about, God, I think even Mr. This is an older movie. This is a more recent movie, but I even think they made the same joke. Maybe it was this one? Oh, fuck, what was it? It was with Tom Selleck. It tells you how fucking old it was. We're going back to this era. The movie I'm thinking about is Mr. Baseball, in fact, the quintessential 90s movie where Tom Selleck goes back and plays for Japan, because that was a fucking movie. But that was a joke that like, there's Japanese baseball teams. Now, you know, now it's, you know, 2017 and, you know, there's baseball here. There's baseball in Japan. There's baseball a lot of places, to the point where you're talking about you know, countries that, as it stands right now, it's about 10 a.m. in Tokyo as of this recording, and you yet were watching a game out of there. You know, you know a little bit of a thing or two of the teams there, and I just find that amazingly fascinating that this is where we're at with that sport. That, I mean, like, we talk about, you know, like, I don't know anybody that doesn't know, like, take me out to the ball game. And even, like, I've been to a baseball game, and I had a shitty baseball team to follow as a kid. Like, you talk about, like, shitty baseball teams. I had the Tigers back before the Tigers were good.
Why'd you follow the Tigers?
Because I was in Detroit, because I grew up in Michigan, goddammit.
Oh,
That was my home team. That was the Tigers.
Yep. It's all like, that's sad. The 03 Tigers, the worst team in baseball history.
Yeah, no. Like again, I've had, like, there's a reason I got into hockey, because we had, at the time, there's a reason I got into hockey because my first sport was basketball, because I had the bad boy era for the Detroit Pistons. And then when that ended, you know, we had to wait a couple of years.
By the way, fuck you for that, because the Malice in the Palace ended the 04-05 Indiana Pacers season.
Favorite moment which is
my favorite basketball team.
I love that moment in basketball history, the Malice in the Palace. And I made a comment that
I went back. By the way, have you? This is really, really interesting oral history of it. You should go back and read because it is. I'll link it to you at some point. The oral history of the Malice of the Palace is such a fascinating read. But oh my god, that 04-05 Pacers team was so good, they decide to get in a brawl with the
how we roll. That's how we roll. I was both happy and completely disappointed. I was happy in that. Holy shit, something fucking happened, because that was, you know, something that was like, oh, damn, this is how we're throwing down now. Okay, now it's, because at that time I was starting getting, you know, I was either getting in and out of wrestling, something that happened, but I was like, oh, shit, things are going down. Let's have some fun. And for those who have no idea, just look up Malice of the Palace. It's far easier if you Google search it that.
Google Grantland Malice at the Palace, and it's this oral history I'm talking about. It's this phenomenal oral history of the Malice at the Palace. It tells you everything, like, gets you from beginning to end. If you don't know anything
I was tweeting out way back a while back. I'm waiting for the 30. You know, I don't know if we're far enough away from it yet to do the 30 for 30 on Malice at the Palace.
Far enough away from it. I don't know that we're gonna get one just because. I mean, I think some of these guys just don't want to talk about it in the same way.
It's one of those, because if you look back at the history of it and kind of what happened with it, and this, now we're talking about basketball, it changed a lot of things because it happened, because no one thought it was going to happen. And I didn't think, you watch that whole video playback, it's still kind of haunting to just see, like, you know, and they're going in the stands, and it's like all this kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, all that aside, like, because I had that, you know, I got in these sports, but even then, you know, you still hear about, like, it's 2017 and we're still talking about the Yankees and we're still talking about the Dodgers and we're still talking about these, you know, the Yankees in particular, in the idea of them, you know, how long has it been since that they've been I'm not saying that they've won the World Series every year or anything like that, obviously. But how many years has it been since, like, the Yankees have not been, like, has there been ever a time in your lifetime or in my lifetime, I don't even think in anyone's, where the Yankees weren't a top tier team?
Well, it's a bad example, because I would say 2 years ago.
Okay.
For the New York Yankees, yeah.
Interesting.
They're rebuilding, and they're gonna, like, they're really good again, like, real quick. But the Yankees had a period where all the aging stars that they signed were now too old. And that generally happens. It's over a cycle. They have maybe a year or two where all the aging stars that they sign, finally reach that peak, and then they have to rebuild over that. But yeah, so a year or two ago was the last time the Yankees were bad, but they're good again, like, right away. And yeah, it happens. Like, it's like the Yankees maybe will finish at the lowest, maybe third or fourth in the division, and the next year they'll come back up and be first or second.
That's still a top tier team. That's still you know, in the grand scheme of how many baseball teams there are, like 20, like what,
30.
30. And you're finishing fourth.
In their division, which is a five team division, so they'll finish middle of the pack, like middle lower of the pack.
That's still top. Again, that's still.
It's uncommon for them to not finish very high. The last time they weren't very good was probably like when I was very like, it was like the right before Jeter, so like the early 90s.
Yeah, and even then, like that's like it's enough where they have that cash. But the point, the ultimate point, I'm trying to illustrate is just like that sport to me has always been that sport that's always been around, and that you know to the point where here we are at the beginning of this whole podcast. You know, we started with you getting into fantasy, you know, baseball, and then we started going deeper in baseball. But even before that, we're talking about a joke from a sketch,
yeah,
in the early, you know, 20th century, on the concept of who is on the first base, and we're talking about how that's still being funny and that's still relevant, and here we are again, decades removed from that. If I say decades, I don't know how old that is off the top of my head, but decades.
30s, it looks like.
30s. Okay. Then we're all, you know, we are, you know, a couple of multiple decades, not quite a century yet, but we're that far removed from there. I mean, to the point where there's a joke in Deep Space Nine in one of the best episodes of season 7 where they're playing baseball and they're making all these kind of jokes about baseball and things like that. And, you know, because it's this weird American sport, this weird ancient sport at that time, not even, you know, that. And here we are, 2017, still talking about baseball. And I think that I find that fascinating as a guy that's not into the sport, hearing you as a person into the sport, not just hardcore about the American side, but even like that you've dabbled in the international side.
Dabbled. Not a lot, but dabbled.
It's still cool. It's still awesome. And I mean,
baseball has this rich history. And yep. like I said, it's, you don't need a lot of language of it. Like I said, as teammates, you need to know very little, which is actually, that's another great baseball story, probably apocryphal, but you know the band Yo La Tengo?
Yeah.
So Yo La Tengo gets its name because of an old story with the Mets where one of, like, I forget the name of the players, but here we go. New York Mets center fielder Richie Ashburn and their Venezuelan shortstop Elio Chacon hit each other in the outfield. And whenever Ashburn would go in for a catch, he'd scream, "I got it, I got it." And he'd run into Chacon, who only spoke Spanish, so he learned to yell Yo La Tengo, Yo La Tengo.
Which is
instead.
I got it in Spanish.
Which is I got it in Spanish. And so they figured it out. And then they traded for the different player, Frank Thomas, who's this big, hulking left fielder. And Frank Thomas comes up and hits him because he didn't understand the Spanish. He didn't know the team peeing when they said Yo La Tengo. And so he runs into Ashburn, the center fielder, who's trying to catch the ball, and he falls over, gets up, and Thomas asks Ashburn, "What the hell's a yellow tango?" And that's how the band Yo La Tengo, that's what their name comes from,
yeah.
is from that baseball story.
It might be a little bit, you know, exaggerated.
The story is almost definitely apocryphal, but that's definitely where they got their name.
I think that's what makes a sport interesting beyond its years is that we have these sort of stories, even they're apocryphal, even if they're that. And if you want to have a really, really cool story on when it comes to baseball and you need a 30 for 30 documentary to enter in, watch, I think it's the Day Baseball Stood Still I forget what the exact name of the documentary is, but it's on the World Series game that happened during the big San Francisco earthquake or what it is. I'll look up the title and put in the show, and we'll talk about it in the post show and look it up there. But the point being is that that's the sport, is that there's all these sort of things. And
The day the series stopped.
Thank you. Cause that's one of those, you know, it's a moment in that sports history. Like, wow, that's kind of cool and everything else. Kuan, always a damn pleasure to have you on the show. See, I knew going into this, we would get through the hour and there'd be no hiccups. There'd be no problems. There'd be no nothing.
It seems to happen every time I come on the show. It's like, I want to talk to you about this episode. Okay, great. And 30 seconds and you're like, wait, what do you mean that?
Well, because that's what happens. That's all we got. Look, like, I know this going in, and that's why I have you on. You know, I know there are certain go-tos I have when I need a guest. And you know, there are certain heavy hitters, pinch hitters, however you want to phrase them. And Kuhan, you are definitely one of those guys to get on. Let's say people who are watching the show for the first time really liked your talk on baseball, really liked your talk on anything, and want to hear more of you talk, because I know you do a whole slew of stuff on the side.
I try to. I've been bad recently at releasing the stuff that I do, but I definitely do a bunch of podcasts. I do one I do want on Power Rangers that we haven't released in a long, long time, and we keep we need to get back and do an episode about the movie, which, again, if you're watching live, can see the poster behind me for the Power Rangers movie. I do a Green Lantern podcast called the Green Lantern Corecast. That one releases pretty regularly. Podcast for a Ranger is my baseball podcast, which needs to come back. The season started and we have not recorded yet for the new season, but that is a show that I do. 32 Pages is a combo podcast I do with Benjamin Castorita, who's in the chat right now. He's a Iggy2814 on Twitch. And he does a lot of cool stuff that you should check out as well, but you'll check that out when you listen to our show. And you can find all of my stuff at www.iamkuhan.com. And twitter.com/Kuhan is my Twitter page, and all my social links are at the bottom of iamkuhan.com. That's iamkuhan.com.
There you go. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. There are the chat rooms and the Twitters. And if you want to catch previous podcasts, you can to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you find links to show notes, our Twitter account, which is at 8bitlifepodcast. And of course, you can, if you want to catch us live, you head over to twitch.tv/cosmicradiotv. We're live usually at 7 p.m. Central, barring any weird schedule changes and glitches. So hit that big follow button if you're watching us live, if you have not already.
I'm really trying to move all my stuff to do live Twitch stuff too, and I just keep like not getting it done. But it's so much easier now than it was when I started.
Yes.
I'm so excited by the state of this stuff that I can watch you live on Twitch. Like, that it's so cool that you can just like stream live.
Yep.
And I can watch like everybody who I follow who like just wants to get stuff started can go live on Twitch at any moment in time. It's really cool.
Yes, siree, Bob. And of course, after all that, if you happen to have a few schmeckles, a few change left, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife. Help this podcast become bigger, better, and more awesome. And of course, we're also on YouTube. So head to youtube.com/cosmicradiotv. Actually, we post the video portion of the show there as the audio gets live as well. So that's it for today. So tune in next time, talk to another geek called completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.